James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Take a look over here, and we'll read some of these. I'll read some of these to you. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are subject to this. It can be by the chastising hand of the Lord that sickness be brought upon us for our disobedience. It can be. The Lord can certainly use that. We know, understand the whole spectrum of the chastisement of the Lord upon His children ranges from that still small voice that we talked about this morning all the way to death, to where He might take His children out. And those things are there, and we just want to consider the Word of God in that context. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians about we being the temple of the Lord as His children and as His church, and that if we defile that temple, the Lord will destroy us. He can do so. That's His prerogative in dealing with us. We've taken a look about the misunderstanding, the lack of discernment on the church there at Corinth, and their not partaking of the Lord's Supper and not discerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ correctly and well. And so, and because of that, many were weak and sickly, and many were asleep or dead amongst them. And then, we want to continue to emphasize that we can't know about the Lord's chastisement on any other individual. That's not the purpose of the messages. The purpose is for us to understand these scriptures ourselves. And if the Lord shows us, and I believe when the Lord brings chastisement to us, that He will show us as individuals. We can't figure it out one for another. We do look on at one another's lives, and we should. And when we see things, we should pray, shouldn't we? We should. And the Scripture tells and bears that out. In 1 John chapter 5, let's read over there and see how that is. 1 John chapter 5, verses number 13 through 21, we can go down here, verse number 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and shall give life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We made that connection over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about that turning out, that removing that wicked person from the body and for the delivering of such a one unto Satan. And I think it's certainly in parallel with what we see here in verse number 18, where if we operate well, behave ourselves well, not act, but obey the Lord and follow Him in His Word, we save ourselves and have that exposure to Satan, and the Lord even using Satan to deal with us and touch us and work in us. We've seen about there's just life, living life as we do, and things that happen in the living of life that we have things that happen to us that seem to be random. They just might occur unto us. And so we certainly have that thing there. In Galatians chapter 6, there's this universal thing. Be not deceived. Galatians 6 verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life after everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's that universal principle of sowing and reaping that applies to all mankind. We as the children of God have that principle, and being a child of God and the Lord dealing with us that way. We've considered several instances. We've looked at several instances. Tonight we want to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I trust that this passage is familiar to you. It is the Moses preaching to the children of Israel before the end of his leadership, before Joshua is going to be taken over and going on. And we just, mostly for tonight, we're just going to read this. Going to make some commentary about it in a place or two. But why is it that we get weak, sick, and die? Let's take a look at this passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This, again, is Moses is preaching to the children of Israel. They're going to be going into the promised land shortly. Moses' time of leadership is coming to pass. Joshua is going to be taking over. And there's some charge here that Moses preaches to the children of Israel. You say, well, Brother Jim, how in the world can that apply to us? Well, I'll tell you what. They were children and we are children. And it applies. Yeah, we're not Jews, and we don't have the law that they had, and some of the things of the ceremonial law, sacrificial law, and all that. That's not for us, and we understand that. But there's certainly a moral law that's contained there, and then we have in the law of the Lord given to Israel, and then we also have that which is given to the churches. Okay, things that we have to do and to operate in that Israel knew nothing about. Okay, and so those things are there, and so there are specific references to some things that would only apply to Israel, but there is much here, certainly in principle, that applies to us. Okay, and I want you to note, how does the chapter start? Verse number one, Deuteronomy 28, verse number one. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken. That's how it starts out. That word hearken is talking about hearing and obeying. It's talking about hearing and receiving and action. The Lord's speaking. The Lord is telling a thing. And if you will hear it, believe it, and obey me in it, okay, I've got some things for you. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You know, that's the reason our nation has been blessed, is because in its beginning, the Lord was honored, and his way was honored. And in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, wickedness was held in disdain. And where in times past, sodomy was viewed as a wicked and understood to be a wicked sin against God, there was laws in every state of the nation to put away sodomy from a nation, just as an example. Put it away. And now we've gone away from that, and we're seeing the results of it, aren't we? It's that way. It's just one example. And the Lord has blessed our nation that way. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And we've seen that, especially in the day of Solomon, that the Lord blessed with that in Israel. And all these blessings shall come on thee. And I like this, and overtake thee, a blessing, running to chase you down, and take you over. You know, when you think about somebody chasing you, kids chasing one another, well, not with the lawnmower running, but they chase each other with bikes or whatever, like it did when we was kids and playing bicycle tag and all that, and they're running, and somebody's faster, and they're catching up. Can you imagine a blessing running to overtake you? And overrun you. That's what the Lord, he promises wonderful and good things. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. And that word blessed is talking about being touched by the Lord, being happy in the Lord, his blessing being upon us, and us knowing it, and enjoying it, and rejoicing in him. Blessed, wherever you are, you'll be blessed of the Lord. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, thy children. You know, what a blessing it is to have, to conceive a child. Here, Jessica, it sounds like, is dealing with that, and just the precariousness of new life coming in. And some of you have experienced miscarriage and things such as that, and related to that are very difficult. Those that we've heard of recently that have had very difficult pregnancies and that. Such a such a miracle in the Lord creating life and it being so fragile, but going all the way through that process and the Lord blessing with a healthy child and a healthy mother. Now, it's a blessing from God. And it's so easy. It's just so easy for us to take it for granted. But blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, thy children, the fruit of thy ground, what you grow and sow, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Nothing worse than getting some garden seed and putting it in and nothing come up. That happened where we're from here a while back on some of those that we know of there that bought seed at a particular store in Troy for their garden, and they planted it. Nothing happened. And it just didn't come up. It was dead seed. And we take that for granted, right? Seed's always going to grow, right, Brother Bobby? Brother Bobby's planting on seed that he sells to grow. But what a fit it is that if your cattle looking to calve out and all that, and they got problems with it. But then it becomes something that's just an expectation, becomes a wearisomeness. And the Lord's blessing is even there. The increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket. What you go out there to the garden and put the stuff in to carry it in, to can it or to eat it or whatever, even that basket will be blessed. That it'll be a good return upon what's grown. And what's it say there? It goes on to say, in thy store. You know, Clarissa and I had this since we've been married. You got some stuff in there in the pantry or where you're keeping stuff up. And you go in there and get it. There's all these bugs on it. Where did that come from? Ew. Yuck. And then you keep digging and you keep digging. Them suckers are all over everything. Brought in a bag of flour with weevils in it or whatever, and it was held up there in the pantry and all that, and it spread to everything. I mean, it spread to everything. And so they said, well, what are we going to do? You try to reason out what it's in and separate it up and seal it off to try to get it figured out, and then it's not in this one and it's not in this one. They're still showing up getting into stuff. Yeah, just that simple thing of being able to take and put your food up and it be good. You get the jar or whatever, and you go, and it doesn't go, it doesn't pop. I mean, the blessing of the Lord upon us. We need Him even in the little things that we just take so much for granted. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Why? Because the Lord's fighting for us. Amen? Because the Lord's fighting for them. Things that come upon us and things that from the human standpoint are coming our way that we don't even know about that God has protected us from. Just because of the difference of a few minutes. We've all been on the interstate. Purpose to leave at a time. Was maybe a little bit late leaving and frustrated about that. And then when we got up there where we were going, it was just like a bomb had gone off. Cars all over the place, tractor trailers off of the road, big old crash and whatever. And if we'd have been on our time, we might have been in the middle of it. Amen. And the Lord blesses that way. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will keep the coons off your chickens. He can do it. He can do it. He's able to do it. Just as another example, the Lord shall establish thee, verse 9, and holy people unto himself. We saw in the Psalms this morning in the Sunday school class up here that the Lord has his people and has separated his holy people to himself. A people holy. What a blessing it is. The Lord could have just left us out there amongst the heathen, couldn't he? Not being holy. Not having an understand about His Word. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. To hearken. to hear him and believe him. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Kind of sounds like John chapter 3 that we read this morning, right? The one that has been touched by the Lord, saved by the Lord, doesn't mind getting close to the light, that it might be seen that his works are wrought in God. It's a testimony of the Lord, not ourselves. And it's the same kind of thing. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. That fear, and of course it applies to Israel, in our day it wouldn't be so much a fear, but they might have an appreciation. Have you known it? And people, we've all seen it. I think every church has it. That we know of people, or we know folks in the church that know people. I know a couple that I'm thinking about right now that was just saved out of drunkenness, wickedness, lasciviousness, nastiness. They were saved out of that, and they were a witness to the folks that they used to run with and their family that continued on in that stuff. Some did, some didn't continue on. But by their witness and the testimony of the Lord in them, and that it wasn't just a short-lived religion kind of thing that they got, but that the Lord saved them, that when their friends and when their family got in trouble and they needed help and they were really dealing with something serious, they knew who to come to get some prayer. They knew who to come to get some advice. When seemingly the Word of God came to them and to an extent they were stirred in their souls about their condition, they knew who to go to talk to about the Lord, because they knew who knew about the Lord, because the Lord had touched them and changed them. An appreciation, a desire. They would say it to him and said, "We want what you've got. We want what you've got. We want the happiness and the joy that you have. We want that salvation that you say you have." But and many times it would come down to that trade that we talked about this morning. But I don't want to give up my drinking. I don't want to give up my carousing. See, they hadn't been brought at that time to see their sin and their need, had they? But nevertheless, they knew who to come to. That they shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. A promise of the Lord upon his nation. Is it always going to be the promise of the Lord that all of us will have plenty and abound? Well, no, there's been times when the Lord's people have been on the run and hadn't even had clothes on them. That can be. We don't serve the Lord. We don't serve the Lord for what He blesses us with. We serve Him because He's God and because He's our Savior. Our worship is due Him whether He's saved us or not. But Him having saved us, we for sure see that we ought to worship Him and serve Him. And then, as the brother says, anything above hell is a bonus, isn't it? It is. It is. And the Lord, the greatest blessing that He's given us, is He's given us Himself. He's given us Himself. Fellowship with Him. The Lord will bless in this land this way. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. The heaven shall give the rain unto thy land in its season, to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I tell you, see this time of year, see that equipment running up and down the road? And none of that equipment anymore is cheap. I mean, if it's big and green, it costs a lot of green, doesn't it? That's right. Or if it's red even, or whatever. Whatever color it is, ain't none of it cheap. And I tell you what, I really don't understand. I don't understand being a farmer and not being a praying man. You know, because, well, we've seen it since we've been here. Man, the rain get all out of whack and stuff drowned, or they can't get it in the field. Or they're counting time. A lot of times up in Missouri, because of the difference in the time of the seasons, it gets warmer up there later. They'll be struggling to get the corn in the ground, or there'll be enough time for it to make and be able to get it out appropriately before the fall and winter sets in and stunts it. You know, man, I mean, talking about being in peril to what the elements and what the weather would do to you. I mean, living that way that you're at the whim of nature, quote unquote. Of course, we know it's God that's in control. Yeah, but I don't understand being a farmer and not being a man that knows God and a praying man, but it happens, doesn't it? But that rain in its right time, the Lord is in control of that. He can make it rain over here, and He can make it not rain over here. It'll be dry as a powder house over here on this side of the creek, and it'll be a loblolly over there on that side of the creek. Brother Jim, you're crazy. Yep, I am. I am. To give thee rain into thy land in this season, verse 12, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Because that's the root of it, is serving other gods. And you know what? The biggest God, really, the biggest God that we can go after and serve, that they could go after and serve, is where? Self. That's the one that is really the problem and the root of all things. This chapter contains 68 verses. Look over there at the end. 68 verses in this chapter. What has been told here about the blessing of the Lord, how many verses has it taken? 14. 14 verses telling about good things. 14 verses out of 68. 14 verses out of 68 telling about the blessing of God. Verse 15. But if it come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Here, even the emphasis of voice is added. Did you see that in verse number 1? And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. It says voice there too. Verse 15. But if it come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and all His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and these curses will overtake thee. What does it tell? Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket, and cursed shall be thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. There'll be no escape. Don't want the Lord. Don't want His way. Don't want to listen and hearken diligently to what the Lord says. Everywhere that we turn, there'll be a curse. There'll be something against us. It won't go right. It won't increase. It won't expand. It won't be good. It won't be a blessing. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Try to take 10 to fix 100, and then end up taking 200 to try to fix 100. You know what I'm understand what I'm saying? The value of the thing is 100, and you try to take 10 to fix it, and then by the time it's all said and done, you've got 200 in it, and nothing still's working. That happens, doesn't it? We've seen it happen with people. It doesn't matter, because they hate the way of the Lord, don't want the way of the Lord, don't seek the blessing of the Lord, and the Lord brings them to a time and says, "You've got it. You got it. Thou shalt perish quickly," verse 20 there at the end, "because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." Verse 21, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption." It'll look like you've got 10, but then when you go back, it'll only be 8. You think that you put in 20, And when it comes around to count it, it's only 15. Try and try and try and work and work and work. With consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation, speaking of the body, with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. You know, there's been a blessing on our nation where the activity of devils has been restrained from our nation. The restraining hand of God and the restraining spirit of God keeping the work of devils and demonic activity away from our nation. But you know what? It's coming in more and more, isn't it? It's coming in more and more. We see it in the world more and more. This young man that avows to be a devil worshiper, and he has no shame, no problem with stating that that's the case. I've known a couple, one or two fellows that were that way. They just worship the devil. That's what they're all about. That's what they want. And it has no effect on them. They're deluded and oppressed. Verse 23, "And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. Prayers will go up. They'll be hollow to start with, and there'll be no answer because of the rejection of the Lord. And the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust." When it does rain, it won't make a difference. "From heaven shall it come down unto thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." You know, that can happen to us. It has happened to us. Remember, there's been some times, I think it was in the days of Jimmy Carter, where we sent out a group of our military to try to rescue some of the hostages, and the whole thing was just a debacle. It was a mess. We got the technology, we got the ability, we got the training, we got the money, we got this. Without the blessing of the Lord, it won't amount to nothing. It'll burn up and blow away. The one that would seem to be an easy enemy defeated, like it was there, what, at AI? Oh, they're few. It'd be easy. Just send over about 3,000. We'll take them like that. When 36 men of the Israelites were killed, they came home running. I mean, they didn't even stay for a fight to lose half. When 36, take a look at that. When 36, if I remember right, were killed of the children of Israel that went over to Ai, they said their hearts became like water. That can happen to us. Without the blessing of the Lord, it can be that way. Verse 26, "And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and of the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away." Boy, that's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. But it is so. "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed." Talking about MRSA today, and flesh-eating bacteria and disease and stuff like that. Stuff that I hadn't heard about when I was a kid. And now that stuff is just coming in more and more and more, isn't it? It is. It is. We need the protection of the Lord upon us. Verse 28, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." We see that today. The things that are done by our government, the things that are done by people, it is indeed madness, isn't it? Madness. It's crazy. There's so much self-destruction that is amongst us and that people pursue after. Astonishment of heart. "And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house and shall not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them." It's going to be lonely. And it's going to be despairing. Because you went away from the best friend that you ever had, the Lord. Amen? went away from the very one that provided all these things for thee. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given to another people, speaking about the captivity, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand to go and rescue them. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up and consume it. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. It'll come to pass, and it'll be this consuming, this captivity, this eating up of all things, and there'll be nothing that can be done, and it'll just drive them insane because they didn't listen to the Lord, didn't hearken unto Him. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, and from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thine head. Again, disease that would just be rampant. All the sexually transmitted diseases that exist in our day, just worse and worse and worse and worse. And seemingly, by some of the advertisements for some of the medicines for them, people have just kind of get comfortable. Well, just everybody's got that. Isn't that? It's madness, isn't it? It's wicked thinking. It's messed up in the head. Messed up in the heart. In the mind. The Lord, verse 36, shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. You know, the encroachment upon Islam, upon all the nations of the world, it's happening, isn't it? I mean, it's happening. It's eating away at the structure of our nation and the general attitude amongst the citizens of the land is, and immigration, immigrants coming in that are not legal and not coming into the country in a controlled way, it's just eating away, and we say, well, if it's not in my back door, it's okay. It'll bring us down. It'll bring us down as a nation. Brother Jim, you're prejudiced. No, we've got a nation here that we have been blessed with, that we have inherited, and if one wants to come into it, they need to come into it in the right way. That's the way that it is. It's just the way that it is. Every other nation in the world is that way. And we're expected to do something that other nations wouldn't do. And the thing is this pushing of Islam and Sharia law and all that to just push and push and push and push and push. And if we don't stand as a country and in our nation in the right way, we will succumb to it. It'll happen. It's happening all over the world. And we know the Lord's coming back. But that's how it will be. Verse 36, and the Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee into a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. It happened in these last offensive over in the Middle East. That what I heard in some of the news reports was is the U.S. isn't taking the lead anymore. Other nations are taking the lead. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. There'll always be something else. So we'll spray for this, and we'll treat for that, and we'll work for this, and then that thing, man, we didn't think about that, and it just wipes things out. Because why? Because God's behind it. Because God is behind it, and He is bringing it to a pass. Verse 39, thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, and shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil of the olives, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Man, that untimely wind, when they're not quite ripe, but they're weak enough, and that wind come along, and then it's done, and they can't be brought to maturity. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, verse 41, but thou shalt not enjoy them. Oh boy, that's telling us that we should. Amen? We should enjoy our children. We should enjoy the Lord's blessings in that. Shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. You know how many ways? There's a message right there. Look at all the captivity that's going on in the world. In general, our nation, our world, mankind is taking our children and selling them out.
Right.
Selling them out to wickedness and to sin and the vice of the world.
Right.
We're doing it. We're doing it. All thy trees, verse 42, and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. What's that sound like? Huh? And thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Here's a reminder. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hear him, believe him, and trust him in what he says, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all these things. You know, we're not to serve the Lord grudgingly. We can get that way, though, can't we? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have to go to church today. Well, I've got to get my time in. Got to get my time in so they don't kick me out. What an attitude is that? You know, rather than seeing the blessing that it is of the Lord to us. Amen? I mean, do we serve the Lord grudgingly and out of necessity? With gladness of heart. Therefore, verse 48, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Israel thought, in going away from the Lord, that all the nations around her, it would be a much better time for her to flirt around with them than to enjoy the blessing and fellowship with God. And what did it do? In every case, it just drug them down, didn't it? It drug them down, and they traded that which was good for something that just killed them. Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. The Chaldeans were that way. The Syrians were that way. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land, which thou until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or the flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest. Rather than trusting in the Lord, trusted in defenses throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Remember how it was with Israel? He said, I'm going to give you houses that you haven't built, vineyards that you haven't planted, crops that you haven't planted, sawmills that you didn't build, lumber that you didn't saw. Isn't that the way the Lord did?
Amen.
And because they went away from the Lord, lost it all. Lost it. Lost it all. And then it gets worse. How in the world can it get worse? Verse 53, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege. When they come upon the city and there's no food, it'll get so bad that the people will eat their children. You know, there's a sense of that happening today. The sacrificing of children for pleasure and for the way of the world and the way that man just wants. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, verse 53, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave. not a rough man, a very easygoing and kind and friendly man. It'll become so severe that he won't have pity or kindness towards anyone, so that he will not give to any them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. And the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, it'll be so bad that her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That's what we're to do. We're to fear the Lord, serve Him, obey Him. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, He will bring thee up all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, when the Lord worked the plagues there in Egypt to deliver Israel, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, but because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even to the other. And thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, wishing life away. Oh, I wish this day was past. It'd be so, so bad. What a terrible, terrible way to live, huh? To have the blessings of the Lord and hearkening to the Lord and obeying Him and the touch upon His hand, to get all the way to a point and say, boy, I wish it was night already. I wish the day was over. What a terrible, terrible way to live life, huh? In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at the even thou shalt say, boy, I wish it was morning. I wish it was tomorrow already. It's just so, so hard. It's so, so bad. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. And you know what? The real final nail of judgment and the irony of it all, that they're taken captive, carried off as slaves, and nobody even buy them. They won't even be, nobody will say they're worth it to buy. What's it say there at the end? And no man shall buy you. Well, that's bad, isn't it? Sold off into captivity, and nobody will say, no, they're not worth it. Next, bring on the next one. I don't want them. Can't even be sold for a slave. Why is it that we get weak, sick, and die? Well, it's here in the midst of this, and wanted to read the whole thing. I know it took some time to do so. Verse number 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. When we listen to the Lord, there'll be a blessing. But verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Why is it that we get weak, sick, and die? Same thing we see in the New Testament, because we don't listen. Because we don't listen, believe, and obey the Lord. Because, verse 45, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Brother Jim, that can never happen to me. Look out. Yeah, it sure can it? Yeah, it can. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we keep our eyes on Him. May the Lord help us that where my eyes are not turned to Him, that He would help me to see that my eyes need to be turned to Him. Amen? Where I lack, that the Lord would reveal that to me, that I would be turned to Him. That I would hear Him. That I would believe Him. That I would take those things that He says and take that and apply that to living this life. Living in this soul that the Lord's given me, this salvation that He has rescued me with, that I would take what He says and I would hang on to it. Amen? Hang on to it as the most necessary, essential thing of living in life that there is. Because it is what the Lord says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Right? Amen. Appreciate your attention. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for your sins, for the need of your soul. Repent and believe and trust in Him and what the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can bring. Salvation's of the Lord. And you need to look to Him, believe in Him, trust in Him. Whatever your care is, if you're you see yourself and that you are a sinner, you need to be saved and you want to be saved, ask the Lord for that. Go to Him with it. I can't save you. I point you to the one that can. But go to Him. Don't be like Adam and hide from the Lord and go away from the Lord. But as the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. The Lord told him there in John chapter 8, He says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The implication is that in Him is life, and sinners do need to go to the Lord.